Singer-songwriter Christy Linné is performing tonight at the Straz Center in Tampa. This week, she spoke with St. Pete Catalyst publisher Joe Hamilton.
Joining me in the Catalyst studio today is one of my favorite people and my favorite musicians, Christy Linné. Welcome back to town, madam.
Thank you, Joe. So happy to be here. I appreciate the invite.
You've been on the road for yonks, years.
Yes, yonks and years, constantly. A Yankee Doodle.
Can you kind of catch us up as to the tours and then the releases and just...
Yeah, so I'm originally here from Tampa, as you know, and I moved from Tampa to Philadelphia in 2008. I had just finished college at the University of South Florida and was ready for getting into a bigger city. And so I moved to Philadelphia because I have a bunch of family there and wanted to be closer to New York City.
And didn't you do some coursework there as well?
Yeah, I was teaching still. I'd been teaching guitar lessons for years. It's like my job, you know?
Yeah.
But then I finally got a gig that was with a touring act called the Angel Band. And David Bromberg was the guitarist of the band. And so I got that gig, which was big shoes to fill. Huh. And once I got that, I just let go of the teaching completely. And I've been pretty much touring. Well, not pretty much. I've been touring full time since then.
Wow.
Which is, it was 2009. I have lived various places, Philadelphia, Portland. I came back to Florida for a couple of years, moved to Nashville, and now I'm near Asheville. So it's hard for me to keep my feet on the ground for too long. And it's because I really love to meet people and share the love of music. And that's pretty much the long story in the short form.
Well, and then the last tour took you to some cool places.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year I did Australia, Asia, some shows with Tommy Emmanuel, which was iconic. I mean, he's one of my favorite guitarists in the world, and we got to play together. And that was a big moment in my career because we had some great videos shot of us playing together, and one of them has gotten just a ton of views on YouTube, and lots of people are showing up to my shows because of that video, and it's really cool, how one little thing like that can be seen by people and, makes them aware of music that's out there. So there's this big fan in Denmark who keeps touching base and come to Denmark. And I said, how did you find any music? She said, I was exploring my favorite guitar videos one day and looked up some stuff from Tommy Emmanuel, and you popped up. And then I went and exploded listening to all of your Spotify and your whole YouTube. I was like, wow, that's crazy. Well, fan in Denmark, it's just interesting how the internet works.
So you mentioned Spotify. I'm not really up to date on the modern state of music. I know record sales aren't obviously near what they used to be. And so is Spotify and are these different streaming services, have they become a viable way to make some income?
Yeah. I mean, it's a very small amount per stream, but if you're Ed Sheeran, you can make $50 million a year on it. and, other artists can make, maybe $100 to a few thousand a month. It just really depends on how many streams you have. And the big thing is the playlist that you get on. So I didn't start to see anything coming in from Spotify for a long time. And now I'm seeing, more and more. The things where it's increased has been from getting added to playlists. I have a song called Soaring Over Glacier Bay, which is one song that I recorded with Will Ackerman. And it's all instrumental. It's just guitar with a layer of 27 cellos and percussion.
27.
Oh. Yeah, it's an orchestral piece, really. And it got added to a reading music playlist. It's now with 21,000 plays or something. It's just funny. It's like a reading music of who would think. I mean, I'm not. Yeah, it's just the way that it works is sometimes you have no idea how people are going to find it. But yeah, so I've been releasing stuff on Spotify and trying to put some energy into that. And so many people are just releasing singles these days and no albums. So I haven't put out a full-length album in 2 years, but I've put out a bunch of singles on Spotify and music videos and have an album coming soon. But I haven't put a date on it because I tend to put a date on things before they're done. And that was my past. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to finish the album and actually get it in the hands of a publicist and make a plan. And then I'll announce the release date. What do you know? It's like... independent artists, we can get very excited when we finish a project and it's like, let's just throw it out there. And we have no idea what we're doing. So I'm trying to learn how to be more strategic.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
So what was life on the road like? All those tour dates on the other side of the planet and even here, you've been grinding it out for a while. How's any war stories from the road that'd be interesting?
Constant war stories, constant victories, moments of complete exhaustion and not thinking I can take another step. Other moments when I have that kind of a day and I step on stage and I see the people and feel their energy, and it's like a rebirth, you know, and that's the cycle. It's like I go in and, you know, sometimes wake up in a hotel room and forget what city I'm in. And I stayed at my mom's house last night, and I woke up and for a minute I didn't know where I was. And I mean, this is actually a very normal feeling that I've gotten used to, and I've learned how to not make it a thing that makes me anxious or worried, because I'm very used to having to take 30 seconds to kind of look around and, you know, realize where I am. And so sometimes it can be hard to sleep on the road, you know, it's adjusting. And especially if you're in a place for one night, or you have like 5 hours and then have to go and get on a plane or something. And so it's actually a really interesting life, you know.
Yeah.
But what fuels me is performing and being on stage. I flew to the West Coast to do a tour. I remember it was back in February, and it was right after another tour. It was all these back-to-back tours. And I got there and I really woke up that morning and I thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to perform tonight? I'm so tired. Like, I just couldn't get out of bed. And I'll never forget, I walked in the venue that night and I still felt kind of in a fog. And I got up on stage and plugged my guitar in to this incredible sound system. And I literally just like did one harmonic and felt the subwoofers under my feet and the sound of the guitar and vibration. And I just came alive, and it brought me to tears because I was like, oh my God, this is what I live for. You know, that feeling of like that moment where you just can express yourself. And that's what keeps me alive, really, in this life. And that's the reason. And seeing people being fueled by it as well, as that gives me energy too.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting cycle.
And you're also very good about collaborating. I know you share the stage and with other artists. A lot of times you're in with a couple of folks, then you guys tend to get on stage together and jam. And I've seen a couple of your pretty legendary ones with Tim Reynolds, and that's going to be fun too.
Yeah, playing with Tim is always crazy because I'm such a big Dave Matthews fan, and seeing him, you know, live as I was, you know, in high school and going and following around and trying to convince my mom that it's okay for me to go to West Palm Beach with my friends when I was, you know, 16, whatever, and things like that. And, you know, then to get a chance to play with him on stage is a very humbling reward for all of the hard work and grinding it out in this lifestyle. I don't think it is for everybody, really. You know, it's a hard life in terms of traveling and not having a lot of grounding all the time in terms of a physical location. Mm-hmm. But I try to really find a way to ground myself in like a practice of, you know, yoga and, you know, books that help me, or writing, or of course, music, to certain things to kind of keep something normal, like having my own pillow and stuff. But yeah, it's fun collaborating with other people. Absolutely.
And Tim's been a supporter. I mean, he was a supporter for a long time. You were playing with him many years back, you know, even before the success you've had now. He was one of the early people that recognized your talent and made sure it got out there.
Yeah, that was 2006. The very first show that I played with him was opening for him at Skipper's.
Yeah.
And then we ended up hanging out after the show, and it was a very organic thing how it happened. Actually, I was talking to a friend the other day, and she was saying, how have you gotten these opening acts for these big artists? And I think so much of it is building relationships. It's like anything, you know, it's like he's a human being. He's not like, yes, he's Dave Matthews' guitar player, but he goes through the exact same things that I do, you know. And so I never approached meeting him in a way where I was like, hey, can I come and open for you again? Or like that kind of leechy fan. I just really respect him as a human being, and we became friends. And just after knowing him for a little while, I one day sent him a text and said, hey, I'm coming to your show. Can't wait to hear you play. And this is after I'd opened for him twice, and mm-hmm. we developed a relationship, but I'd never played with him. I never asked, figured it would happen if it was going to happen. And then I just said I was going to come to his gig one day, and he said, bring your guitar and come in and sit in with us. And I pretty much fell on the ground, you know, it's like, of course. And then I stayed up all night learning his entire album because I had no idea what we were going to play. And then I show up and he says, let's just improvise. Every time we've played on stage live, the two of us acoustic is just all improvised.
Nice.
There's one video of called Unbelievable Acoustic Guitar, Tim Reynolds and Christy Linnae, and it's two 12-string guitars, and I'm playing the little baby 12-string, the Griffin soprano, and he's on a normal 12-string. And that was one of the most incredible musical experiences in my life that night. So things like that are always, it's a surprise. And I think that's the greatest gift of learning music, is learning how to speak the language, because no matter how much you think you can prepare for something like that, or stay up all night learning somebody's album, you know, it's really hard to prepare sometimes. And I have to realize in those moments, wait, I've been preparing for the last 20 years for this, not what I did last night. But it's like to prepare for the unknown and prepare for somebody to just say, hey, are you ready? Let's play something in D. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's like, you just got to go and you got to turn on your fire and just make it happen. So it's fun.
That's cool. And now you're doing that for other people. It's just a nice come around.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm really excited to get more into producing some other people's records. People have been asking in the last couple of years and I haven't had a space to do it. But I just, you know, moved into a space where I've been expanding my home studio and going to start taking that on in the next couple of years. Of course, working on my own projects too, but I've always loved arranging music and trying to see help people create a vision. So that's an exciting goal.
And this new space you're in is kind of the extreme opposite of the big city hopping. You're kind of in the middle of nowhere, top of a mountain.
I think in the middle of nowhere at the top of a mountain in the Pisgah National Forest and near Asheville. It's very secluded out there. And I have a life coach that I talk to on the phone from time to time, and she described it as forced hibernation. And that she saw that I was finally decompressing after years of just going and going and going. And I think that is what it is. And it was, there's no question of why I just felt exhausted after I moved and couldn't seem to light a fire under me. You know, for a couple of weeks, I was just so tired all the time and would just go and down to the creek and stick my feet in the water and read a book and do yoga or, you know, just be completely quiet. But it was really recharging. Sometimes I think people who play music think it's all about that, you know, export of, you know, what we can put out and put out and put out. And it'll burn you out if you just put out and out and out and out. So I've always tried to find the balance of bringing it back in too. And so I'm constantly trying to refine that. Because it's an art,
sure.
Learning how to re-nourish yourself after giving so much.
So do you find moving, with regard to your writing and your creating, do you find moving to that solitude is just you refresh and you kind of go back to the state you were in for the last few years that you write? Or is it a different writing experience because you're completely rested and completely peaceful and kind of detached from the trappings of everyday life?
I think it's different because it's kind of taking me back to my original state of being in a way. I actually found a whole box of notebooks. All these old notebooks from years, huge box of them. And I, you know, of course, that's what happens every time you move. You can get very nostalgic and you find pictures and all these things and notebooks. And so I found a notebook that was one of several from when I was in college. And I opened it up and I was actually kind of blown away by some of the stuff that I was writing. Not songs, but just these journal entries that were pretty deep, like thoughtful and, you know, world views and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I had no fear, you know, and it was just like, and I think being in the music industry, it can make people very jaded or try to like mold into some sort of form or what people tell you is good. And you have this, you start to get all this stuff in your mind. And that did happen to me because I didn't have in the last couple of years enough time to bring it back in, like the inhale and the exhale kind of thing. There's a lot of exhale. So what was interesting that I found in this move was that I was inhaling a lot of my own old work, and it kind of reminded me where I came from. And that was really interesting. And, you know, just a reminder of like, oh, okay, this is what it's like to write with no fear and no judgment of my own self. Like, okay, I'm just going to write whatever I feel like writing and not worry about if it's a radio cut or if it's 4 minutes long or anything, you know, and just write it because that's what feels right. And that's a really incredible feeling to have and be reminded of. And it's something that I never want to forget because that's the whole reason we make art is because we want to express ourselves. So if we express ourselves with limitations, then there's a soul calling that's not being answered. So that's the biggest thing that I've found in this move is to try to find that place of writing from no fear.
That's brilliant. That's great. And you'll be expressing yourself this Sunday?
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
This Sunday, I'll be at the Straz Center of Performing Arts at Jape Theater in Tampa, which is also nostalgic because I was in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat in this theater when I was a little girl. So this is a, you know, performance of my own original music. So this will be the second time coming to this theater. So it's a really special place to go back to. I have a couple very wonderful musicians joining as guests, bamboo flute player and a violist and a percussionist and... But I'm going to play a lot solo as well, because that's what I've been doing mostly for the last couple of years. And yeah, it's always a, you know, a fun experience because I have a little foot stomper with my right foot, which is my kick drum. And the right foot usually shows up if I'm going to show up to the gig, which is good. and I don't have to get it at its own hotel room, which is nice. And then my left foot plays the tambourine, and I have a harmonizer and a bunch of effects, and I've been trying to play bass lines and chords and melodies all at the same time on the guitar while somewhere in there writing a song that people can connect to. So it's a fun art and experience, and constantly loving the gift of creating a space for people to connect. And that's my intention. So hopefully people can find some peace and joy when they come to a show. And that's this Sunday, November 18th at the Straz Center and Jape Theater at 7:30. It'll be a good time.
I'll be there.
Awesome.
It's great to catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. And thanks to everyone for listening. If you want to check out some music, I have a website. It's christielenee.com, christielenee.com. Lene like Renee with an L, Facebook, Instagram, all those things.
And we'll add all that to the written part that accompanies the audio. So easy to find. Just check in the article.
Perfect.
Cool.
Thank you so
all right,
much.
Thank you.
Catalyst publisher Joe Hamilton with singer-songwriter Christy Lene performing tonight at the Straz Center for the Performing Arts in Tampa at 7:30. For tickets, visit strazcenter.org.